Now, the text takes us to a place where there is a battle between gods. Can I go deeper? Yeah. There is a battle between gods. There is Elohim, the God of the universe. And there is Pharaoh, who sees himself as God. Pharaoh thought he was a god. But God will remove anything and anyone who is standing in between us being reconciled to him. It's the most dangerous thing you can do is to get in between me and God. If me and Sarah stand up for a minute, Pastor Sarah, if me and Sarah get mad at each other, it would be smart not to get in it. Because whatever we arguing about, it ain't going to last long. And after a while, we're going to come back together and both of us are going to jump on you. So, yes, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen right now. It would be foolish for you to get in between us because the tie that binds us is bigger than the argument that divided us, and it's a temporary argument and it's not going to last because love is going to win the fight. It would be foolish to get in between me and my wife. So don't come in the house and try to be a broker, some kind of division between us, because we might be mad as fire at each other when you came in the house. But before the week is over, you understand? Now, if you think that's bad, to get in between me and Cora, how you gonna get in between me and me? Y'all understand that? That's just a metaphor. To get in between me and God when I was created in his likeness and created in his image, if you try to get in between me and God, Pharaoh, you going down, bro. You going down, dude. You going down. 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 You're going down. You're going down because you got in the way of me and God. Last Paul and Silas praying in the jailhouse at midnight. The jail was trying to stand in between Paul and Silas and God. God sent an earthquake, tore down the whole jail. If you start crying out to God, I don't care who your oppressor is, God will defeat your oppressor when you want to be connected with God. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Woe be unto the man that's trying to stop your woman from going to church. You must want to die, because if you get in between that woman and her God, I don't care how big you are. I don't care if you work out in the gym 8 days a week. God will bring you down. You're a Pharaoh. Somebody give him 30 seconds of crazy praise. Crazy praise. I said crazy praise. I can't explain it, but he loves me. I can't explain it, but he's for me. I can't explain it, but he wants me. He literally moved heaven and earth to be with me. He came down through 42 generations to be with me. He wrapped himself in human flesh to be with me and called himself Emmanuel, tabernacled with us, just so he could be with me. And even though you think I'm a funny looking, out of shape, no good old man, ain't good for nothing, he thinks I'm the apple of his eye, altogether lovely, full of truth and glory, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And if you get in between me and him, he will move you out. Sit down, because I'm about to get fired up. And I'm not supposed to be fired up because I'm still in the opening. And I ain't got nowhere. And I know I'm not going to finish, but I do hope to get a little bit further than this. So I started on this hunt to try to figure out which Pharaoh is the Pharaoh that got the whipping. And some people said it was Ramesses II, but other theologians disagree with that. Ramesses II lived from about 1300 BC to about 1213 BC. He is normally called Ramesses the Great. He was an Egyptian pharaoh that stood above all other Egyptian pharaohs. He was in a class all by himself. But he was the third ruler of the 19th dynasty. Along with Thutmose III of the 18th dynasty, he is often regarded as the greatest, most celebrated, and most powerful pharaoh of the New Kingdom, which itself was the most powerful period of ancient Egypt. So Egypt is not just a country like it is now. It was a superpower. It was, I want that to sink in. It was the superpower. This is not just a bunch of men wearing funny hats. This is the superpower of its era. There was no Supreme Court. There was no jurisdictional court. There were no lawyers. There were no attorneys. There was nobody to plead your case. Whatever Pharaoh said, that's what it was. If he said cut her head off, it was off. If he said boil him in oil, he was fried. Pharaoh was the boss. That's why he thought himself to be God. There was no system in place of checks and balances that diminished his power. And power corrupts. And total power totally corrupts. And he was in total power. I was in a country, I won't name the country, but it has a king and not a democracy, not a government, it has a king. And the king was nice to me, we had a great time, but I was sitting on the plane thinking to myself, if he says I can't fly out, I can't get out of here. He don't need a rule, he don't need a reason. He's a king. So you don't understand real power. Real power never has to explain itself. Real power just is. That's why your mama said, because I said so. Now you want to have a debate and a council meeting in a boardroom. When we grew up, it was because she said so. If you stay in here, that's how the sentence was started. If you're going to stay in here, if you don't want to sleep out there on the snowy back porch or find yourself a place to stay, I'm not advocating for it, I'm just explaining it. Ramesses was often considered a possible pharaoh during this period, in part due to the references in the Bible to him and the development of cities assigned to the growth of Egypt, of which the Hebrews were building. He built more, he did more. He had in place economic systems that survived more. He had an army to be revered. All of these are signs of a superpower. Economic wealth, military power. He had both of them simultaneously. He had 600 chosen chariots. That wasn't the entire fleet. Those were just the chosen chariots out of the mass of fleets. So he releases the 600 chariots after a bunch of farmers. It's like dropping a nuclear bomb in the hood. The odds are totally stacked against them. And when they heard the hoof prints coming after them, they were afraid. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or it could have been Akhenaten. He was the 10th ruler of the 18th dynasty. I don't know. The theologians don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm not going to worry about it. But Akhenaten's reign is noteworthy for another reason. During this period, he was able to do some unique things. Egypt's polytheistic religious system was completely removed and replaced by an unprecedented turn toward monotheism. So that kind of tells me that Akhenaten is also being influenced by the Hebrews,
yes, sir,
who were monotheistic.
Yes,
sir. One thing affects the other thing. I was teaching a master class day before yesterday in D.C., and I told them, when Jesus said we are in the world but not of the world, I said, imagine taking a glass Coke bottle, I know they don't make them much now, but a glass Coke bottle, and putting it down in a pan of water. The Coke is in the water, but it's not of the water. But it's affected by the water, because when you start boiling the water, the glass is going to eventually shatter. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And if the glass shatters, now the Coke is going to affect the water because the water affected the Coke. So we cannot be in the world with blinders on, not noticing what's going on around us, because if the water boils, the glass shatters. So you can't just read your Bible, because you got to keep check on the temperature of the water. Even though you're not of it, you're in it. You're in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can't galvanize in my own mind exactly which one it is, and it really doesn't matter. What is important is that Moses asked for the liberation of the Semites or Israelites or Hebrews, however you want to phrase it, all points to the same thing. Pharaoh's response was increased affliction. Can I go deeper? I want to go deeper. I've been getting ready for you. I've been getting ready for you. I'm loaded. I'm locked. I'm in place. I'm on fire. I'm ready to go. I got something to say. Now, Pharaoh is chasing them, trying to get them back, it would appear. But I wonder if he wasn't trying to get the gross national product back, because they had borrowed so much economic wealth that they survived 40 years in the desert and never went broke. That they had enough wealth that Moses was raising an offering and had to say, stop. I have never raised an offering. Moses said, y'all giving so much, just stop. There's so much wealth left with the slaves when they were leaving Egypt that they had to put it on the backs of their children, generational wealth. So even little Johnny had a bag of gold. Mary Sue had a bag of gold. Grandma had a bunch of bracelets and silver in her head. Everybody was dragging some out of Egypt. And they didn't steal it. The Bible says they borrowed it, but it was really due them, because after 400 years of not getting paid, this is what reparations look like in the book of Exodus. They were dragging the wealth of 400 years of back pay. I don't know who this is for, but God's about to give you back pay. He's about to give you double for your trouble. He's about to restore unto you the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust ate up. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to in here? All that stuff you did for people and they never paid you back. Every time you helped somebody and they forgot you. Every time you delivered somebody, encouraged somebody, and they stuck a knife in your back. Every time they borrowed money and never paid it back. You may not get it back from them, but God has sent it from somewhere. He'll give you houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't go. God's going to make sure you get it back, because God is a just God. God is a just God. God ain't gonna let me work that hard for you and not bless me somewhere. Y'all don't hear me. God is gonna bless me. He's gonna always bless me. He's always blessed me. Not because I'm good, but because He's good. All of blessed people, holler at your boy. My God, I feel like something's about to happen in this place. Something's about to happen in this place. You might want to stay in Egypt, but I don't. You might want to be buried in Egypt, but I don't. You might think your story ends as a slave, but I don't. You might think that you were just created to serve somebody else, but I don't. I believe I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I might start at the bottom, but I'm not going to stay at the bottom. Glory to God. I'm going to be like the Beverly Hillbillies. I'm going to move on up. Come on. I'm coming up a little higher. I'm loading up my truck. God's got something else for me. God didn't let me die in Egypt because God has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you're gonna get to watch me eat before it's over. Oh, sit back and watch me, 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 watch me. I feel the Holy Ghost about to break loose in this place. I feel the anointing about to have a fit in this place. The glory of the Lord is about to break loose in this place. You're coming into an eating season. You've been through a weeping season. You've been through a working season. You've been through a waiting season. But now you're coming into an eating season. Somebody praise Him for what you're about to devour.